Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus. We hope that today's message will help and inspire you in your faith journey.
Good morning, church. Can you hear me? Aren't these good news stories incredible? Honestly, aren't they just uplifting and encouraging? And the reason they are is because our God is no respecter of persons. In other words, what he can do for Sean, he can do for us in our lives. And so this should build our faith to know that our God is good, our God is faithful, and it's just a matter of time if we seek the kingdom of God first, above all things, that these things will be added to us. So if you've got a good news story, write it down. We would love to share your good news story with our church because it's an encouraging moment. Today is a great day in the life of our church. Now, you may have walked in here and thought, why has this church gone crazy? Why is there crazy decor everywhere? What is happening? Well, tonight is our volunteer appreciation. And it is an 80s theme. So, like, we are going all out. There are skirts and colors, and it's going to be a fat jewel. Okay, just like a lot of fun in this place, which we cannot wait for. We're very, very excited. But before we even get there, I want to extend a huge thanks to each of our volunteers. You might be a guest here today. You might be visiting like for a couple of months. But what you don't know is what it takes to make a service. It doesn't just take a pastor on a platform. It doesn't take a worship team. It takes beautiful volunteers, hundreds, each and every Sunday to make Sunday happen. And it starts from our car park. And today was a rough day in the car park. There were like races and we were being told to drive slower. I don't know how you drive slower than 20 kilometers an hour. Like, I just don't know. Because there was a massive race and the car guards were having to put us in different parking areas. So well done to our car park team. They were incredible. And then we move into the ushers who are given so much abuse. Please sit here. No, I won't sit here. I don't want to sit there. It's cold. It's hot. It's stinky. I don't know. There are ushers and soundmen and camera people. And there's even a secret guy backstage. His name is Dylan. And he does our online sound. So just to make Dylan, because he sits all alone on a Sunday, just to make Dylan's life happy, just say, hello, Dylan. Hi, Dylan. The whole church knows you there, hiding backstage, upstairs. I mean, thank you, thank you, thank you. There are kids' church teams who miss out on church services to help our kids move towards Jesus every single week. Gosh, honestly, they are like the best people. They are writing curriculums in the week, and they are leading our kids towards Jesus and doing an incredible job. Thank you, volunteers. You are the best of the best. Honestly, I have been around the country, literally, in most churches in the AOG specifically, and I know that we have a warm-hearted culture in this place that is welcoming and embracing, and that's because of our volunteers. I want to say today, if you're not volunteering at Thrive, you are missing out. You are missing out on finding your purpose. You are missing out on being used by God. There is nothing more beautiful than being used by God for the bride of Christ. So I want to encourage you, sign up, sign up, sign up. If you don't know where to sign up, just sign up and say, help me find my gifting. Everybody has a gifting. Everybody has a calling that can contribute to the body of Christ. Don't be a consumer. Be a contributor. Don't come every week, sit here, go feed me, feed me, feed me, and leave like a fat Christian. No, let's contribute to the beauty of the body of Christ. Enough said. Sign up at the info desk. Sign up online. Sign up. Be part of the beautiful bride of Christ. Another reason today is incredible is we are starting a brand new series. And this brand new series is entitled Unstoppable. How the Church of God is unstoppable because of the power of the Holy Spirit. It is a beautiful series based on the book of Acts. If you're not reading your Bible in any place at the moment, go to Acts and read it for this month so that you can learn as much as you can about how it is that the church of the living God can be unstoppable. Can I ask that we stand to our feet as I open this time with a prayer that would open our hearts? Let's stand in a posture to receive whatever that might be for you. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. We have made an effort to be in your house. We have worshiped with all of our hearts. And today, Holy Spirit, we ask that you would speak to each of us individually in this beautiful corporate gathering. Would we hear your voice? Would we hear your gentle whisper? Would you speak and direct our lives, we pray. And everyone who was expectant said, amen, amen. You're welcome to take your seats. So just this past Tuesday night, I was sitting in our beautiful church in our auditorium around over there, watching our volunteers practice for the volunteer appreciation, our worship team volunteers. And it dawned on me that I have been attending worship practices in whatever format for the past 30 years. 30 years, like I am old, people. I have played, the format has changed. I've played the piano, I've led worship, I've led the worship team. Now I oversee the worship team, who are way more talented than I will ever be in my whole life. They have more talent in their little pinky than was in my whole body. But they make us look amazing, so it's wonderful. They are so gifted and led by incredible people. But I thought to myself, what is it? What is it that keeps me coming back to worship practices? I don't need to be here anymore. I have got not enough gifting to contribute to this. And I realized in that moment when the Holy Spirit spoke to me that it's a picture of the beauty of the body of Christ working together that draws me into this atmosphere on a Thursday night, early on Sunday mornings, because what happens is when we bring a worship team together, and it's not just a worship team, but I just get the privilege of sitting in a worship team. It's all sorts of teams. When we bring teams together, there's this person who brings their little contribution, and this person who brings their contribution, and this person who brings their contribution, and the body of Christ is beautiful when it is working right. It's the bride of Christ. A beautiful bride, and we get to witness that synergy where there's holiness in the moment, where there is unity and everybody's working together and the anointing of God is falling in this place. And that's what brings me back to worship practices week in, week out, because I am overwhelmed how everybody's little bit makes something beautiful. Now, don't get me wrong. I have seen the bride of Christ be bridezilla. Like, I don't know if you've ever had a bride and been to a wedding where the bride becomes bridezilla. They're like crazy. They're angry. They're selfish. They're self-consumed. They're stressed. And you're just like, please get married so you can be a nice person again. Like, I have seen the bride of Christ be bridezilla. And that's when they are like selfish, right? When there's ego. When there's pride, when it's like, hey, look at me, I'm amazing. I sang a verse. Really? I've seen bridezilla. And it's not the way it's supposed to be. And to be honest, I've contributed to bridezilla from time to time. I have contributed to disunity. You know, there was a time in my life where I was so like frustrated and angry with the team that I was part of. And I sat up across from Pastor Kathy in her office one day, and I just rattled on and I ranted and I raved about this person and how terrible they were, and this person, how they not shouldn't be on the team because of this and this and this, and this person. And eventually Pastor Kathy, and I believe anointed by the Holy Spirit, stopped, took a moment, and she looked at me. And I was waiting. I was waiting for the moment when my mom was like, yeah, you're right. You know, the whole world is terrible, right? And I'm taking my daughter's side. And in that moment, she says, Candace, I realize what the problem is. I'm like, yes, I know you know the problem. And she goes, the problem is you. That's not what you want to hear from your mother. The problem is you. She goes, think about what you're telling me. And these are random names. This is not people. It's Candace and John. It's Candace and Sally. It's Candace and Sepal. It's Candace and Terrence. The common denominator is. Now, what you need to know is I am not a passive person. I don't usually have a shortage of words. But in that moment, I had nothing to say. And I believe the Holy Spirit used her to speak to me about the disunity I was causing in the body of Christ. Friends, this is what disunity is. Disunity means the state of not being able to agree about important things. It's a lack of unity. And we see disunity everywhere, don't we? We see it in our country, in our governments, in our companies, in our schools, in our sports teams, in our families, between men and women, between parents and children, between different ethnicities, between people of different socioeconomic brackets. And friends, this is not God's best for us. He's calling us to live in unity. And sadly, I've seen disunity between different Christian denominations. Friends, if we believe in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, does it matter if you baptize someone dipping them three times or once? Does it matter? Really, does it matter if we take communion every service or once a month? Does it matter? What matters is that we love and serve Jesus. That's what matters. I have seen disunity within our local churches. And I know that it grieves the heart of God. I know it does. And I believe that God is calling us to unity. He's calling us as a church, as a nation, to unity. There's one book in the Bible, the book of Acts, where the church is unstoppable because of its unity. The church is unstoppable because of the empowering of the Holy Spirit on that church and the unity within the church. And today we're going to unpack just one passage of scripture from Acts 2, where we see this unity. We're going to learn from this unity together so that we too, as the body of Christ, can become unstoppable in our nation. So we pick up the book of Acts just after the Gospels. Now, the Gospels are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. At the end of the Gospels, we see that Jesus has been crucified. He has died. He has been buried. And he has resurrected. The book of Acts begins when Jesus has not only been resurrected, he's appeared to his disciples, and he has now ascended back into heaven. And he says to his disciples, just wait for the Holy Spirit. Wait for the empowering of the Holy Spirit. And this is where we pick up the book of Acts. The book of Acts begins with the disciples gathered together in one place. Very important. Together in one place. And the anointing, the power of the Holy Spirit, the wind of the Holy Spirit blows through the house. It says you hear the wind blowing through the house and landing on the people with tongues of fire. And they begin to speak in different tongues. And it's so beautiful because people from different nations are hearing their language being spoken by Galileans who shouldn't know their language. And they're saying, surely they're drunk. And Peter stands up and goes, they're not drunk as you suppose. They are filled with the Holy Spirit. And this passage of scripture that we're going to talk about happens just a few verses after the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. There's the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and then this passage of scripture takes place. You ready to go? Acts 2, verse 42 to 46, and it says this. And all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to the fellowship and to the sharing of meals, including the Lord's Supper, which is communion, which we participated of today, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together in the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. How beautiful is that passage? Keeping in mind it happened a few verses after the infilling of the Holy Spirit. There's a couple of things that we can learn. That empowered by the Holy Spirit, if we do these things, the church, as in the church at Acts, will be unstoppable. The first thing we see from the scripture is that the church was unified because they were devoted to Christ. First and foremost, devoted to Christ. It says that they were devoted to Christ in the following ways: by sitting under the apostles' teachings, by participating in fellowship together, by sharing meals, especially the Lord's Supper, and by praying together. Friends, this same unity is available to us when we are first and foremost. Our first priority is that we are devoted to Christ. When we are devoted to Christ, these four things take place. We are sitting under the preaching of God's word weekly. When we're devoted to Christ, church is not an optional. We don't pretend like one week I'll be at church, one week I won't be at church because something else more important came up. When we are devoted, we are in the house of God, under the preaching of the word of God. That is what devotion is all about. When we are devoted, we participate in a small group, fellowship of the saints, where we are one-on-one in a group with a small group of people where we work out our faith, where we are going, hey, I don't understand the scripture. Can you tell me what you think about the scripture? Or when we say, hey, I really need some encouragement. Could you encourage me? Or, hey, would you celebrate with me? Friends, it's vital that we belong to a small group of people that we can do our life with, faith with. And I want to encourage you, if you're not part of a life group, sign up for a life group. This is our first place where we do fellowship in the week. So yes, we sit under the word on a Sunday, but in the week, we participate with one another in fellowship. Then in the sharing of meals, particularly the Lord's Supper, which is communion, which we partook of today, which is powerful, which I'll get back to a little later. It's what binds us together under the cross. And then fourthly, by praying together. I'm not sure, friends, if you know, but we are about to head into elections. And if you don't know, you should know. But what we have want to invite our church to is a time of prayer. And so if you'd grab your phones out, there's going to be a Zoom ID up on the screen. We are not going to ask you to come out on a Monday night to church. What we're going to ask you to do is join us for a Zoom prayer meeting on the 13th of May, and it'll take place from 7 o'clock till 8 o'clock. So get home, jump online, and pray with us for our nation. Prayer has the power to change things. We've seen this in the past, and we will see it as we move into these elections as well. Prayer can change our nation. I really believe it. And so we're inviting you at this time to pray with us on the 13th of May. We have many opportunities to pray. This is just our next one. So I'd like to invite you to that. So the first thing we saw from the church is that they were devoted to Christ. The second thing we see from the church in Acts is that they were devoted to the body of Christ. Now that's different to Christ. The body of Christ is to one another. They were devoted to each other. They were invested in each other. They wanted the best for each other. They were not, as the culture of our day, they were not selfish. They were not self-obsessed. They were not self-consumed. They were others-focused. Right throughout the New Testament, we see one another. Love one another. Serve one another. One another. They were one another-focused. Says this, that they loved one another, they shared everything they have, they sold their property and possessions, they shared their money with those in need, and they shared meals together in great joy. Romans 12, 4, verse 4 to 5 says this, just as our bodies have many parts, and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to, friends, we need each other. We are not the body of Christ without the person next to us. We are the body of Christ with each other. And so I don't know what part of the body of Christ you are. You might be the toe, you might be the liver, you might be the heart, but we need each other. You're not the body without each other. You're just a part. But we need each other, and we need to be devoted to each other. And what that means is we need to care about each other. We need to pray for one another. We need to bless each other with gifts when we can and when it's within our means. We can buy hope bags for people in the body, in our body, who don't have food this month. We can go to the info desk. We can go to the cafe. We can buy a hope bag for someone. We can leave a legacy at our cafe, which will sink water wells for other parts of our body of Christ who need water. We can cook a meal for one another. Or if you can't cook like me, you can buy a meal for someone. like we can do that for one another. We can visit each other in hospital. We can fetch our kids for each other. Hey, I'm stuck in traffic. Can you help me? That's what the body of Christ is. And friends, most importantly, we can check in on one another. Hey, how are you doing? I see you weren't at church. Are you okay? See you weren't at life group. Oh, I saw you were struggling at life group. Is there a way I can pray for you? Hey, here's the scripture. I want to encourage you with the scripture. We are the body of Christ, friends. And we need to be devoted, firstly, to Christ, and secondly, to one another. The third thing that we see that made the church unified is that they were devoted to the finished work of Christ. The finished work of Christ. Friends, that is that Christ came to earth. He lived a sinless life. He died on a cross. He was buried, and then he rose again and resurrected and is sitting at the right hand of the Father. His work is done. And the finished work of done means I have reconciliation with God. In other words, my sins are forgiven. And I can have a relationship with God because of the work of Jesus on the cross. So vertically, that relationship is wonderful because of the finished work of Jesus. But horizontally, my relationship with those around me can be wonderful too because of the finished work of Christ. Friends, we are all sinners saved by grace. Just because somebody stands on a platform or sings on a platform doesn't mean that they're any better than anyone else. We are sinners saved by grace, in need of a Savior, in need of grace, in need of forgiveness. And so we are one at the foot of the cross. And so our horizontal relationships can be reconciled to one another and to God. All because of the finished work at the cross. Galatians 3:28 says this, there is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female, and this is important, for you are all one in Christ. Friends, we're one in Christ. I'm not sure if you've looked around our church, but we are one in Christ, and it's beautiful. It's the way the church should be. There's no male or female or black or white or Indian or mixed race. We are one at the foot of the cross. Our diversity in the body of Christ makes us beautiful, and it sets us apart from the rest of our nation. Because we are one at the foot of the cross. Desmond Tutu, he says this, you don't choose your family, and he's talking about the body of Christ. They are God's gift to you, and you are to them. We are gifts to one another. We are gifts to one another. Acknowledge that there is a gift sitting next to you in the room today. We are gifts to one another. And so, through the power of the Holy Spirit, there is unity that is possible when we devote ourselves firstly to Christ, when we devote ourselves to the body of Christ, and when we devote ourselves to the finished work of Christ. So right about now, you're probably thinking, well, unity sounds hard. That's a lot of devotion. Unity sounds hard. Why should I go about this unity thing? And friends, the answer is actually in the text of Acts as well. But I'm going to read a scripture found in Psalms 133. And I've just missed out a little bit, but there's a whole portion of it. But this is why we pursue unity. It says this, Psalm 133, 1 and 3. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. This is God speaking. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. For there, in this unity, the Lord bestows his blessing. We are blessed when we live in unity. And that's why we need to keep pursuing unity as the body of Christ, even when it's hard, even when part of the body upsets me, even when part of the body offends me, we keep pursuing unity because it's in unity that we are blessed. So what do these blessings look like? If we return back to Acts 2, it says that the first blessing was the miraculous power of God. Verse 43 says that a deep sense of awe came over all of them, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. Friends, unity in the church enables the blessing of God to move. And part of the blessing of God that is bestowed upon the church are signs and wonders, healings, physical healings. I'm not sure when last you saw a physical healing. I haven't seen one for a while. And the reason is because of a lack of unity in the body of Christ. It's vital, friends, for us to pursue unity so that the power of God can move in our meetings, so that he will move in power, that he will breathe, that there will be healings that take place. Romans 12:18 says this, do all you can to live in peace with everyone. Now I know we live in a broken, sinful world. I know that it isn't always possible for us to live at peace with everyone. But scripture says, do all you can. Do all you can. Don't precipitate anger. Don't make it worse. Don't throw fuel on the fire. Forgive. Extend grace. Extend mercy. Olive branches of peace to one another. Do all you can to live at peace with everyone. The second blessing we see from this passage of scripture is that there was favor with people. favor with people. Verse 46 and 7 says this: they worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. One of unity's blessings is that we get favor upon our lives, favor with man. And friends, can I tell you that favor can change your life? It can change your life. There's so many examples of how favor can change your life. Getting let off a speeding ticket. One way. Being selected as the last spot in a sports team. That can change your life. Receiving a bursary to study when you're the least qualified between two candidates. But there's just something about you. There's just something that sets you apart. There's just something that makes me want to choose you over another candidate. Favor. Favor. Getting your kid into a school that you're not zoned for. You want best, the best for your kids, right? And you try and you try and you receive favor. Favor. That can change your life. Getting a position in your company, as Sean said, that you're not perhaps qualified for, or you haven't got the right qualifications, or you're from the wrong background, or favor. Favor can change your life. An unexpected increase in your finances. Favor. God can give you favor with men when you pursue unity in the body of Christ. Unity produces favor in our lives. The third blessing we see is the expansion of the kingdom. The expansion of the kingdom. Verse 47 says this: and each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Each day. I don't know about you, but I have family members who need Jesus. And my prayer is that the unity of the church will be so attractive to them that they will move towards Jesus because of the unity that is found in the church. Friends, our unity is attractive to people. When we respond with grace and kindness to mistakes, it's attractive to the world. When we refuse to take a bribe because we say we answer to a higher power than you, it's attractive. When we are quick to listen and slow to speak, people take notice. When we leave a legacy in our cafe and we sink water wells in arid nations, people take notice. When we greet car guards and tellers and look at them and acknowledge their humanity, people take notice. When we love our enemies and pray for those who hate us, people take notice. When we refuse to speak badly about someone else, when we just stop the skinner, when we walk away, people take notice. Friends, our unity can advance the kingdom of God because it can be attractive to others. 2 Corinthians 6:6 says this: and we prove ourselves by our purity, our understanding, our patience, our kindness, by the Holy Spirit within us, and by our sincere love. I don't know if you remember that old scripture song. They will know we are Christians by our love. They will know that we are Christians by our love. And so some of the blessings, as we recap, of unity are that the miraculous power of God can move through unity. Favor with people extends to us because of unity. And God's kingdom expands because of the unity of the church. On February the 8th, 2003, there was this most incredible moment that took place in Kentucky University, and it was called the Asbury Revival. There was a normal chapel service, and they closed the chapel service, and the dean dismissed the pupils, and he said they could go off to class, rest of the university, and the pupils just stayed. And they just continued to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and something incredible took place. For 16 whole days, 24 hours, nonstop, the worship of God took place in that chapel. And 15,000 people visited that chapel every day for 16 days. They lined the block to get a moment, one moment in the presence of God. And by the end of those 16 days, 70,000 people had made their way across America to be part of the revival that was taking place in Asbury. And John Snyder, a reporter, he covered this case. He went outside and he took his camera kits and his microphones, and he interviewed person after person after person. And there's footage of this online, so you can look it up. And this is what was said over and over again, that there were reports coming from students of people surrendering their lives to Christ for the first time. Expansion of the kingdom. There were reports coming of healings, emotional healings, physical healings, and healings from addictions from that inside of that chapel. And then there were reports of this. They kept saying, person after person, that there was a sense of unity. Unity amongst the students, where the only thing that mattered was the worship of God, the devotion that they had to the presence of God. And this is what they said. Here's a quote. It was like everyone was of one heart and one mind. There was such widespread unity. Friends, I believe that the Asbury Revival is the start of what is possible across the world if the church would just unite. If we could just surrender ourselves at the foot of the cross, be devoted to Christ, devoted to one another, devoted to the finished work of Christ, imagine what could take place in our nation. Imagine what could take place. Can I invite you, church, to pursue unity? Restore some friendships if some friendships have broken. Restore some family relationships. Ask for forgiveness where forgiveness is needed. Extend forgiveness where forgiveness is needed. Work in unity along with one another, not against each other, but for each other and with each other, for the unity of the body of Christ. Stop causing division, because division stops the blessing of God. Let's avoid gossip and let's pray, 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 pray. As far as it is, depends on you, live at peace with one another. As far as it depends on you, live at peace with one another. Can I ask, friends, that we stand? I'd like to lead us in this beautiful prayer. It's a prayer by St. Francis of Assisi, and you've probably heard this prayer before. We've sang it in our schools from young. Make me a channel of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring love. And so on and so on. If you would like to commit to praying that, I'm going to pray the prayer, and you're welcome to pray along with me. But friends, let's pursue unity. It is possible through the empowering of the Holy Spirit, unity in the church, unity in the body of Christ, unity in our nation is possible. And when there is unity, all the blessings associated with unity come. And that's the power of the living God to breathe healings and life and wholeness. That's favor with God and then favor with man and the salvation of the world. All of that is possible. So the prayer is going to be up on the screen, and I'd invite you to pray it along with me. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated and just remain in this moment, because the Holy Spirit is working. And if you would bow your head, close your eyes right where you are. Church, unity with God is the starting point to this relationship, unity with others. And today, in a moment, I'm going to ask if you would like to be unified to God. If you would like for the sin that blocks you from God to be removed from you, then in a moment, I'm just going to ask you right where you are to pop up your hand. And all that will indicate is, hey, I want to be unified to God. I want to be a friend with God, and I want all of my sin, all of my shame to be removed. And so there's already so many hands coming up. If that's you today, the Spirit of the living God is moving in this place. You would like to be unified to God. Would you raise your hand right now? And I'd love to include you in my prayer. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So many hands. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. God bless you. I believe there's a couple more people. God bless you in the balcony. You want to be unified to God today. Thank you over there at the back. Thank you over there at the back. Thank you. Just respond by popping up your hand, and I'll include you in this prayer. It's a life-changing prayer. It's a prayer saying, I'm a sinner, but I'm at the feet of the cross, and I want to be reconciled to God. If that's you, pop up your hand, and I'd love to include you. Thank you. I see that hand. Great. I'm going to pray this prayer. You're welcome to pop your hands down now. And would you repeat this prayer in your hearts to God right now? Dear Father God, I come before you today with a humble heart, and I surrender my life to you. I believe that Jesus Christ was born sin-free. He died on a cross as a payment for my own sin, and he rose 3 days later. Please forgive me my sins. Would you make me new? Thank you for the unity that I can have in you and through you and with you. I choose a friendship with you today, Jesus. In your name I say this. Amen.
We hope that you have been blessed and inspired by this message. For more information on Thrive Church, visit our website. And for more life-giving messages, go and visit our YouTube channel.